Welcome once again to Word on the Hills, with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host this week, Chris Cameron, and our guest, well-known singer, songwriter, author, workshop presenter, and adventurer, David Newland. Each week, we visit with a local author or other persons involved with writers and readers. But this week, our guest is also part of Spirit of the Hills Festival of the Arts, October 24th to 26th at St. Peter's Anglican Church here in Coburg, and we will be asking him about the events he's taking part in. We also ask our guests to introduce us to their work and to read or to play for us, to give us a glimpse into their lives, find out what prompts them to write, sing, and give workshops. And we're delighted to have David Newland with us today. Welcome, David.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
David was born in Ottawa and raised on the shores of Georgian Bay near Parry Sound, and crisscrossed Canada and travelled the world before settling in Coburg. He travels as a performer and speaker from coast to coast throughout the year. His musical presentation, The Northwest Passage in Story and Song, has been selling out venues across Canada since 2016. He's been featured in the television programme Canada's Greatest Ride, for which he also wrote the theme song, and Mighty Cruise Ships, and has appeared on numerous TV and radio shows. And David is a fellow of the Royal Canadian Geographical Society. So, did you always want to be a musician? And who were your musical heroes growing up?
You know, looking back on my childhood, I actually don't remember having any real career goals. And I mean, I always wanted to be a musician. I think in the same sense that everyone wanted to be a musician was that it looked cool, and music was what we were responding to, certainly what I was responding to as a kid. I was really raised on radio. Living in a rural place, radio was still really the lifeline to the world. I always loved music. I don't think that I ever saw having any part of a career in it, but it sort of gradually unfolded that way, and I'm grateful that it did. When I was 17, I had the good fortune to go to a place called Pearson College on the West Coast, and was there surrounded by, 200 kids, of whom only 50 were Canadians. And that really opened up my eyes and ears to the world. That is where I started to play guitar and to perform in a band. My friends were suddenly from all over the world. And so we developed these very close bonds during this two-year program in an isolated place outside of Victoria. And it just felt like being torn away when it ended. And so I just had this urge to travel and to see everybody that I loved. And so I would work summer jobs and earn up a bunch of money and then go backpacking off to Europe or Asia or Central America and try to connect up with people. And I kept that up really throughout my university years and onward, and travel just became a fact of life for me. You know, you asked me earlier who my musical heroes are, and I think it was at that point that it started to emerge who they were in a way, because when I started to play guitar, the songs that I remembered from hearing them on the radio were the ones that I wanted to learn to play. And that was when it settled in that really my influences had been people like Gordon Lightfoot, or, you know, John Fogerty from Creedence Clearwater Revival, Bob Dylan, and so on. These great singer-songwriters who kind of came from the folk tradition but into the popular idiom in the 60s and 70s, and those have remained my strongest influences.
So you're taking part in several events at the Spirit of the Hills Festival of the Arts this year on October 24th to 26th. One of them is the lunchtime panel on Saturday from 12:15 to 1:45 on sharing across the arts. Tell us about your own experience with sharing and why you think it's important.
Well, in terms of the arts, I mean, my own work has been expressed through photography, writing, music, public speaking. I've even dabbled in sculpture and installation, and I see the combining of disciplines as basic. I don't really see the boundaries there. We all need to express ourselves, and we find different ways of doing that, and those are sort of tools in our toolkits. The thing that's been really impactful for me, especially of late, has been collaborating not only across disciplines but across cultures and languages. So, for example, I perform very frequently with Inuit throat singers who come from a completely different musical tradition. In fact, throat singing isn't usually even a performance, traditionally speaking. So integrating that, finding ways to make that make sense, but also thinking about what it actually takes to collaborate with somebody artistically. The differences are obvious, but what are the similarities? And so you build out from those common places, and I think having to seek and find those common places is what's one of the things that's really inspiring about working across disciplines, across the arts in general.
Yes, that's where innovation lives.
I think too there's something that when you see the world through the other person's lens, it offers you sort of an analogy for your own work.
Well, David, you seem to have been a traveler and never to have stopped. Your latest musical presentation, Northbound, is all about the places and lives of people in the Arctic. So are all your songs inspired by the places and people you meet?
Thank you for asking that. I didn't think they were until this project made me rethink that about all my work. And, you know, you mentioned that I'm a fellow of the Royal Canadian Geographical Society. When that honor was extended to me in 2015, I was inclined to reject it, because when I saw the list of other people who have, you know, sort of been offered that distinction, I felt I was in far too exalted company. And the publisher of Canadian Geographic said to me, "David, this is our motto. We try to make Canada better known to Canadians and the world." And so I had to agree that I had been doing that all along. Mm-hmm. And that led me to the understanding that really where my songs had always come from was geography. And if you think of geography as the relationship between people and place, it's where a lot of art comes from, really, when it comes down to it, you know, that is often what we're really exploring, because culture stems from place, because romance stems from place, you know, everything has a setting and a scene, right? Being in another place can send you home with something that you feel like you need to transmit, and that's been powerful and indeed addictive for me, mm-hmm. for sure.
So we'd very much like to hear a song from Northbound, David, and perhaps you'd like to set this up for us.
Sure. I think I'd like to play "Oh, What an Awesome Sight," which is a song that describes the scene in a few different places across the Canadian Arctic, all of which challenge our ability to express them. And so we find ourselves having to use words that have maybe lost their meaning over time, like sublime, or in this case, awesome.
Awesome sight. Everyone's out on the deck under the northern lights over the Franklin wreck. And somebody said it right. We're steaming through heaven's gate under the northern lights. Oh, what an awesome sight. Awesome sight, hiking above and beyond, sun hanging high in the night, moons on a tundra pond. Somebody said this stone was formed of the earth's first life, sun hanging high in the night. Oh, what an awesome sight. Places that we've seen, journey without end. Faces that we've been, like a dream they seem to blend. Bears along the shore, whales out in the bay. May they wander evermore as we wander on our way. Thank you. awesome sight. Ice castles sail on the tide, the ache of the blue and the white. Gems of a hundred sides. Somebody said this ice would quench the eternal thirst. The ache of the blue and the white. Oh, what an awesome sight!
Thank you, David. So now we'll take a short break.